So today we are talking about the mission into the land of Canaan, okay? This is a time where God, through Moses, so Moses sent 12 men into the land to spy. And we sing a song about that, right? Okay? And this, the song said that 12 men went to spy on Canaan. How many were bad? 10. And how many were good? 2. Does anybody know the names of the ones that were good? Anybody? Joshua and Caleb. Anybody else out there think that too? So, we're going to talk a little bit about what that story is and what are things that we can learn from that. Because here's something I want you guys all to listen. You guys all listening? Right? Up here? Right here. You know what my dad used to say? He'd say, look at my crooked nose. Because I guess he had broke his nose when he was a kid, so he had a crooked nose. I don't think my nose is crooked, so I can't say that. Or does it look crooked to you, Ian? What do you think? Does that mean yes or no? All right. So, the Old Testament, right? All the stories in the Old Testament, how God worked with his people. Do you know what it says about them in the New Testament? Anybody out there know? I think it's in the book of Hebrews. What does it say about all these things were written as an example for us? So when we look at the Old Testament, we look at the stories in there, they're real, true stories. They really happen. They're not made up. And when we read them, there's things we can learn from them. So today, as we look at the 12 men who went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good, we're going to go, what can we learn from this? How does it impact our life? Okay? Are we going to be like the 10 or the 2? So let's say a word of prayer, and we are going to get into the lesson today, which comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that as we learn about the spy mission into the land of Canaan, that you will teach us and challenge us to live for you. In your name we pray, amen. So, before we get here, we got to kind of figure out how did they get to this place where they're at the edge of Canaan and they're going to go in and spy on the land? Well, first of all, we got to meet this guy. Anybody want to take a guess who this dude is? Moses. Good guess. But no, we got to go even further back than that, because why did Moses do anything? So what do you think, Jason? Abraham. Anybody think that was Abraham? This is Abraham. Yep, it looks exactly like Abraham, right? Exactly. Okay, this is somebody drew a picture of Abraham. So, remember, when God created the world, everything was perfect, right? Adam and Eve had perfect fellowship with God. But then when they sinned, when they took that one fruit that they weren't supposed to, then there was brokenness, there was sin, death had entered the world, right? And God said one day he's going to send somebody who's going to crush the head of the snake. And who's that? Jesus, you're right, okay? And as God's plan is unfolding, he's going to bring Jesus to the world. This man, Abraham, okay, his name used to be Abram, he had a really important part to play, okay? Now, what do you guys, especially Sparkies, what do you remember? What did God say to Abraham? Anybody remember? What did he say to Abraham? Let's see, any adults? Any adults remember? What did God say to Abraham? Or is it just the kids? Mr. Carl. Land, blessing, and descendants, okay? Yeah, here's what he said. He said, Abram, I am going to make you into a great nation. You see, God was going to get a people ready so that Jesus could be born. Because Abraham is Jesus' great, 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 etc., granddad. Okay? And so God said, Abraham, I want you to leave the place you're living and you're going to go to a new land. I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing for the whole world. And Abraham said, okay. Like he just went on this 1,000-mile journey walking around until God said, here's a place. This is where I want you to go. Now, why did God pick that place? Here's something we learn a little bit later. A couple chapters after God said, leave and I'll bless you, he said, Abraham, look all around. And he said, walk around. He said, every place you see in the place where you're walking, I'm going to give your family this land. God made a promise. He promised Abraham, I will give your family this land. The land became known as the Promised Land. Because God promised it. Now, when God makes a promise, what do you think God keeps his promise? What do you think? Who thinks that God keeps his promises when he makes his promises? He does. Let's remember that. It's really important. God told Abraham, I'm going to give you and your family this land. Later on, God reminded him, I'm going to give you this land. But he said, your people are going to spend 400 years in slavery in another land. Anybody know what that land was? What land were they enslaved in? They were slaves in Egypt, right? And when they were in Egypt, God then got this guy, okay? Who do we think this guy is? This is Moses. We're getting closer to the part of the story, closer to the spies. God said, Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh because I've seen my people. And I've seen that they are being treated so badly. And I'm going to rescue them. And why is he going to rescue them? He says, because there is a land. The land God promised Abraham. And he said, I'm going to take you into that land. It's a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It will have everything you need. It's the land I've made for you, and I promised Abraham. So God sends Moses to Pharaoh. And what does Pharaoh say when Moses says, let my people go?
No.
No? Exactly. That's what he said. And what did God do? Yeah. Oops, I pushed the wrong button. God sent 10 different plagues. And in these plagues, what God was showing is he's showing Pharaoh, you are not God, I am God. And we could look at each one of these plagues, and there would be like different fake gods that the Egyptians worshipped that were kind of set up like bowling pins, okay? And it's like each plague that comes by is like God taking a baseball and knocking down that one. That's not a real God, I'm more powerful. That's not a real God, I'm more powerful. All the way to the very end where God, through Moses, told Pharaoh this is going to be the worst plague ever. Tonight, an angel's going to come by and every firstborn boy is going to die unless you put the lamb's blood. Remember that story we talked about? And every Israelite, every Hebrew, they did that. They put the blood of the lamb over their doorposts and they were safe, but in Egypt they didn't. So there's a lot of people that died that night. And that's how God rescued his people out of Egypt, right? And he rescued them out of Egypt and he even brought them across the Red Sea. And the Pharaoh's army that chased them got drowned in the Red Sea, and God rescued his people. And now God's people were being led in the wilderness, and there was this big cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night that led them to the promised land. Because what did God say? I gave this land. I promised it to Abraham. Now I'm going to bring you in. So what's the promise that God said? What is it? Yeah, I have a land. It's for you. I will bring you there. I will do it. That's what God said. So what is God going to do? God's going to bring them into the promised land. Remember that. Remember that. That's what God said. I will bring you into the promised land. And so God led them right to the edge of the promised land. Okay? And he told Moses, he said, Moses, and so Moses said, I'm going to send 12 men into the land to look at it. So he picked 12 guys. Here's some of the guys he picked, okay? And he said, here's what I want you to do, okay? He's got his little huddle here. He says, I want you to look at the land. Tell me, is it good? Bring back some fruit. Hey, if you find some grapes or pomegranates or apples, bring them so we know. God said it's a land flowing of milk and honey. Bring the good stuff from the land. Look at the people. Are they strong? Are they not? Are the towns strong? Do they have walls? Just go through the whole land. You got to be sneaky, right? Just like the game you did, kind of. And find out what the land is like. And so each of the 12 men went on a journey, okay? So they were here at this place down here, okay? And they started their journey all the way up into the promised land. But they encountered some things there that made them a little worried. There was giants that were living in the land. And they saw the giants, and these were tall people, like 10 feet tall, 9 feet tall. One of the kings had a bed that was 13 feet long. Okay? These were tall, strong people, and they were kind of scared of them. But they kept going along on their journey, so they went up even further, all the way up, and they made it up to the land of Galilee, and they saw that there was cities that had walls around them. So there's giants and there's cities with walls around them. So if you're going to try to fight against that, you got to get into that city, right? But as they kept journeying, they made it all the way up. And it says that when they got to this place called the Valley of Eshkol, they found some awesome clusters of grapes. And they picked one cluster of grapes, okay? And they put it on a pole, and two of them had to carry it. Now, we don't know exactly how big that cluster of grapes was. Anybody ever go in the store and you buy a cluster of grapes? Anybody ever done that? How many of you can just kind of hold it like this? How many of you could like carry it on a journey? Like you could just hold it on a journey. You could tie it to a stick, put it over your shoulder and walk a bunch, right? Okay, because our cluster of grapes are like a couple pounds. So people, as they study this, they're like, you know what? The grapes could have been anywhere from 20 to 45 pounds for that cluster. Okay? So they had this huge cluster of grapes. They got pomegranate. They got fruit. Do you know what? How much food is there in the wilderness, in the desert? Not how much fruit is there in the wilderness? Not much. And they have grapes. And they have this is a land flowing with milk and honey. It's the land that God promised Abraham. And God promised Moses. God promised the people, I will bring you there and I will give you the land. So is God going to give them the land? Did God promise to give them the land? Yeah. Anybody else want to say that? Did God promise to give them the land?
Yes.
Yeah. But when the spies came back, what happened? The spies came back and they said, the land is good, just like God said. There's honey, there's fruit. Look at this huge cluster of grapes. We got pomegranates. It's a really good land, okay? And Caleb said, we're going to go there. And God's going to give us the victory. We can win the battle because God promised. But some of the people said, whoa, time out. Yeah, the land is great. But the cities have walls around them. And there were giants there. And the giants made me feel like I was just a little grasshopper. There's no way we can win the battle. Now, I have a question for you, okay? Let's pretend we're playing basketball, okay? And let's pretend the whole other team is giants. They're all 9 or 10 feet tall. They got to duck to not hit the rim. How easy do you think it would be for people my size to win against them? If they're good basketball players and they're that tall, how easy? Do you think people like me would just demolish them, or do you think it'd be really hard for us to play against them? How many think really hard? Yeah, how about there in the audience, okay? I'm a decent basketball player, but yeah, okay? How hard of a battle do you think it would be for them to fight against if there was a bunch of really strong, great fighters and giants on the other team? Would that be an easy battle or a hard battle? Both. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Let's listen up. This is important for all of us, too, adults. It'd be hard, right? I mean, I wouldn't want to have to do that. But what if God had promised, I'm giving you this land? What if God had sent all these plagues and rescued me out of Egypt and said, I'm giving you this land? Exactly. Do you think it was hard, a hard thing for the Israelites to be set free from slavery? Yeah. But who did it? Huh? God. And God promised them. So you know what Caleb and Joshua said? They said, time out. No. Like, what? Oh, that's the wrong slide. Let me get the right one. Caleb and Joshua said, wait, time out. God did all this. Do you think God cares about giants? Do you think giants can stand in God's way? Do you think hard things have to matter to God? If God said he's going to give us this land, it's our land. We can trust God. But the 10 men said, no way. We can't do it. It's too hard. And guess what happened? The whole nation listened to those 10 guys. And they started crying. We're ruined. We're all going to die. Why did God rescue us out of Egypt? He should have left us in Egypt. He should have just left us there, because now we're going to go in this land and we're going to lose in battle. We should, you know what? Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back and be slaves in Egypt. Let's elect a leader. That's what they said. We're going to go back. We're going to go back to Egypt. We're going to elect a leader. And you know what they wanted to do to Caleb and Joshua and Moses? They wanted to throw big stones at them until they died. Yeah. And then they're going to go back to Egypt. They were right on the edge of the promised land. God said, I'm giving you this land. And they said, it's too scary. We can't do it. No. We're going to go back to Egypt. And at this moment, when they're getting ready to throw the rocks at, it says that God's presence came down at the tent of meeting. And God met Moses. And God told Moses, he's like, get away from these people, Moses. I'm going to start over with you. And Moses said, God, forgive these people. Forgive them, Lord. Remember your great promise. Did God promise to give them the land? Yes. And God said, Moses, I have forgiven those people. But he said, but there still will be some bad things that will happen. One of the bad things was is that the 10 men that were spies that told everybody it was too hard, they died. And God told the people through Moses, he said, okay, God is going to give us the land, but we have to wait 40 years to do it now. Is God going to give the people the land? Yeah, he will, but it won't be them. It will be their kids. Will Abraham's family get the land? Yes, but not right now. He said, because you didn't trust God, you are going to spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness before I let you into the promised land. And then you know what the people said? They're like, we're so sorry. We should have trusted you. We'll fight. And Moses said, time out. You missed it. You didn't trust God. God will not fight on your side now. Your children will get the land, but you missed it. And Moses said, don't go and fight. God won't fight with you. And they said, who cares? We're going. And what happened? There, let me get to the right. So they went out. We're going. See Moses in the back saying, stop, don't do it. God promised to give you the land, and he will give you the land, but you have to wait now. And so they lost in battle, and they were driven back. And a lot of people died in that battle. And they spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness. They sent the spies in. The spies did their job, but they didn't trust God's promise. And so they missed out on what God wanted to do. Now, what can we learn from this, okay? Because here's the next part of the story. For 40 years, they were walking around. God led them in the wilderness. Did God provide for them? Yes, he gave them food. He gave them manna. He gave them water. And 40 years later, did their children go into the land and win the battles and get the promised land?
Yes.
Yes. Why? Because God keeps his promise. But here's some things that we can learn from this. Number one, we can miss out on what God wants to do. Okay? God's plan is not thwarted. His plan doesn't stop. Did the Israelites make it into the promised land? Yes. But did those adults make it? No. Their kids did. God's plan is not thwarted. We can miss out on it if we don't trust him. Now, does that mean that if we make a mistake and we fail, that we go, oh, everything is ruined. I have no hope. No. God forgives and he gives grace. And when we get off the path, God calls us back onto it. But there is a truth to you don't get back on the path at the exact part you stepped off. God's plan is not thwarted, right? There's redemption. There's renewal. But there is a part that we have to play in our obedience. Are we the ones that walk in his plan or do we miss it? That's an important thing for us. The other important thing for us is, are we going to be like those 10 men that said, it looks too hard, we can't do it? Or will we be like the two that said, look what God said.
Yes.
Amen. What God said, he will do. God keeps his promises. So here's a couple things that we can learn from this. What promises in God's word do you need to hold on to? That's why it's important to be in God's word. Maybe you really need the promise where God says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. How many of you guys have ever gone through a really hard time And you needed to know that God was with you. Do you know that God is with you all the time? He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. When things are bad, it doesn't mean he's gone. It means he's right there with us. So when you're going through hard things, to hold on to that promise that God is with me. Do you know that there's a promise in the Bible that says in all the hardship that we face, God has made us super conquerors. We overwhelmingly conquer. When we have hard things in front of us, when we feel afraid, God says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. It's important for us to hold on to the truth of God. How about any of you ever faced a time in your life where you just didn't know how needs were going to be met? And for us to remember that God says, as we seek Him, as we seek to give, God says, I will meet your needs. And we can look with our eyes and see one thing, and we can look with eyes of faith and say, I will trust God's promises. Because how would it have been different for those 10 men in the whole nation if they said, yeah, there's giants, but we trust God? They would have been the ones that walked in the promised land. There would have been 40 years of pomegranates and honey and milk and grapes. And that's just the physical stuff. So you see, God has given us His promises. And it's really His promises that help us live. Or maybe some of you really need to hold on to the promise of God's forgiveness. Some of us, we're our own worst enemy, right? You know the wrong things you say, think, and do, and when you fail to do the right thing, and you feel so bad about it that you just want to wallow up and hide over there and just let life go on. And God wants you to know that in Jesus Christ, the work has been finished. And you can get up and get back on the path and keep walking. Maybe you need to hold on to that promise of forgiveness through Jesus. Or maybe, here's the last one. You guys have done such a great job listening, okay? The last one is that maybe you need to hold on to the promise that there is an inheritance to come. No matter what you go through in life, the Bible says that God right now is preparing a place for His people to live forever in heaven. And God says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll get new bodies to live with Him forever. And maybe some of us, as we go through life, we need to hold on to that no matter what happens to us, God is with us. And He has that inheritance for us in the future. So the challenge I give y'all and you guys, in your week this week, what promise from God do you need to hold on to be like those two men that said, yeah, there's fortified cities. Yeah, there's giants. Yes, on our own, we would fail miserably. But guess what? We are not on our own. God's word is true. Let's pray. And then we'll pray and then we'll be done, okay? Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for these kids. God, I pray that You will help us to be people that know Your promises, trust Your promises, and obey Your word. From the littlest of kids to the oldest of the adults, God, have Your way in us. We love You and worship You. In Your name we pray. Amen.